It's time for us to see something new, do something new. It hasn't happened all in one moment yet, but there is a groundswell right now. Mm-hmm. And we need to strike while the iron is hot. We need to participate
yes.
in what God is doing in mm-hmm. these days.
God promises in Joel 2:28 to pour His Spirit out on all humanity. Welcome to Global Outpouring, where we contend for that promise outpouring, we equip for that outpouring, so that we may engage in that very outpouring. I'm Philip Buss.
And I'm Sharon Buss. Welcome to the podcast today. We're so glad that you're with us. We want to talk about the Charlie Kirk effect today. Something really big is happening in the whole wide world, and it has to do with outpouring. It has to do with striking while the iron is hot, and it has to do with arising and shining, for your light is come. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're so happy that you've tuned in. And we want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, that you go to our website, globaloutpouring.net, and that you fill in the feedback form. If you've got some feedback for us, make sure that you're on our email list so that we can stay in contact with you. I feel like it's going to be important for us to be connected in the days to come, because God is doing something amazing in this hour. And also, if you haven't already downloaded our app, you can go to your favorite app store and get the Global Outpouring ETH app, and it will enable you to stay connected with us in so many ways. Our podcasts are all going to be there. Much of what we have on YouTube is there. You can join a group. You can put a prayer request on our prayer wall, and the intercessors will pray for it. There's just so many things that you can connect with us through that app and stay connected with what God is doing through Global Outpouring. And if you feel led to do so, there's a place to give on that app, where you can go to our website, globaloutpouring.org or net, either one, and there's a place to give. So just help us to pay it forward as we are following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we just want you to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as well. It's not under compulsion, but if you feel led by the Holy Spirit, we thank you for your gift. So lately, there's been a big happening when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, murdered, whatever you want to call it, on September 10th. There's been a big shift since then.
Ooh, spiritual shift.
Yeah, spiritual shift, a shift of attitudes. We've seen all kinds of YouTube shorts and so on of people that have decided to go to church.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's just really, really astounding.
Well, you know, it's very significant to me that the name Charlie means free man as opposed to being a slave. And it could also mean warrior. He was really a warrior.
He was a warrior.
It was absolutely. He was constantly in war, in debates all the time. And his last name, Kirk, means church. It's what you would hear if you went to Scotland or Northern England. That's the word that's used for church, is Kirk.
Kirk, yeah.
So, you know, it was a free man choosing freely to go to church. And I think there's this thing that's going on where people are being drawn to church. And I remember back a while, a good many years, 9/11, 2001, that for the first 2 weeks after that tragedy where we had an act of terrorism on our own soil in New York City, where the World Trade Center buildings were knocked down by these airplanes that went into them, for 2 weeks, the churches of America were full. But I don't think that the majority of the people who went back to church at that time found a place where they could relate to. You know, they were hearing messages like, no, no, this wasn't judgment. No, no, this, they're there. It's okay. And there wasn't anything that gave people a clarity of what was really going on, that you know, this is the first, really, on our soil, of acts of terror where Islam is stepping up to try and take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what's going on.
It's obvious now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get on YouTube and look at all the shorts, what's going on in England and all the European countries, Spain, all these, and they show pictures. I thought that's not the France or the England I remember when we were there.
No, not at all. Not at all. And we saw recently a short of someone, a lady in her older years, that was rebuking these Muslim guys on the street that were trying to pass out Qurans and trying to preach the Quran. And she was rebuking them, saying, "This is a Christian nation. Yeah. You don't belong here," and those kind of things. "I don't want anything to do with your Quran." And the police came and arrested her.
Yeah, I saw that. That's astounding.
Astounding. So, you know, it's a...
This is England. This is where our King James Bible came
exactly
out of.
Exactly.
The King of England's the one that, you know, said to do this, translate this.
Right. And there were some previous translations before that, but that one became the authorized version.
The authorized version.
And it went for quite a while, you know. I mean, it's still the favorite one of many people. If you can read Shakespeare, you can also read the King James Bible.
Yeah.
There are some words that you have to have a little help with. But, you know, bottom line is the original languages of the Bible, both Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek, are languages that are rich in words. Mm-hmm. Their words have multiple meanings and depths of meaning that it takes more words in English. That's why I like the Amplified Classic in particular and some of these other translations. You almost need to read multiple translations to even begin to sound the depths of what's in the scripture. There is not one translation that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Not any one of them. As good as the King James is, it's not perfect.
But it doesn't try to take things out of it that are like the blood of Jesus, which is different versions.
Some versions have taken that out.
They've taken scriptures out.
Yeah.
You know,
and part of that has to do with the manuscripts that they're using. Mm-hmm. And some of the manuscripts appear to be incomplete. You know, you have to remember that manuscripts were written by hand. And I don't know about you, but when I try to copy something, you know, I might skip a line.
And I think that could be serious.
I think that's how this happens, especially when you've got things that kind of repeat, mm-hmm. you know, and you've got a similar word structure and you can leave out lines. And I think that is part of what has happened on some of these manuscripts. And then you copy the manuscript and that one gets copied and that one gets copied and that one gets copied. And so the mistake continues.
It's like the psychology teacher, you know, he would get everybody in the rows, in the front rows, and tell them a story, and now tell it to the person behind you.
Right.
And so the last person would get up and tell what they heard, and it's totally different.
Exactly.
You know, from what the first person actually heard.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why we have issues with translations and that sort of thing. But the bottom line is, study the book.
Yeah.
Study what's available, and ask the Holy Spirit to make it come alive to you.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yeah.
It's not getting bent out of shape because this version said it quite like this or that, you know.
Right.
And there's some versions we won't touch, you know.
Right. And there are some, particularly some of the very modern versions that are like explaining the image of what's being said rather than a word-for-word translation. There's different kinds of translations.
Yeah.
So some are translations and some are interpretations. So you kind of need to study them all.
You need to study them all and get the picture. That's very good, good wisdom.
So as we're looking at these young people in particular that are all of a sudden waking up, we saw one video where a young man was standing in front of the church door wearing a suit, and he said, "I put this suit on, and I'm going to church for the first time because Charlie Kirk can't be there today, so I'm going to sit in his place." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just love what God is doing in people's hearts.
Yeah.
But just a few days after this, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Strike while the iron is hot."
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's critical that we who have been walking with the Lord for a while make ourselves available to those who are just starting their walk. Charlie Kirk had a mentor, probably many mentors.
Yeah.
And you don't be mentored by someone your own age.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone who has more experience than you do. You need to find some wisdom.
Oh, yeah. And we have been blessed in that department. We've had different ones just that speak into your life.
Right.
Yeah. And,
and we still have people speaking into our lives. You can't do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, okay, so just a day ago on the Turning Point USA Facebook page, they say in the past 2 weeks, TP USA has received 121,000 plus requests from high school and college students nationwide to start a chapter or get involved with an existing chapter.
That's just astounding.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's the possibility of a wave of revival, but we know that there is a revival coming, and we hope that this is it.
Yeah.
That was prophesied in 1934. Remember that one from Manchester, England, that there shall come a breath, and the breath shall bring the wind, and the wind shall bring the rain, and there shall be floods and floods and floods
and torrents
and torrents and torrents.
And we're seeing that.
We're so seeing that. And even in the natural, even in the natural, there's so many flash floods that we're having these days. That we're, you know, maybe it's just because we're getting more news than we used to get, but it could be that there's an increase. Anyway, the rest of the prophecy is souls shall be saved like leaves falling from mighty oaks in a hurricane. You know, a hurricane can just strip a tree of its leaves. And arms and legs will come down from heaven, and there shall be no ebb. That is the thing that's most important about this prophecy. Yes, there's going to be powerful signs and wonders, but there's going to be no ebb. In other words, this wave comes in and it stays.
Yeah.
When you have the tides of the oceans, they come in and they go out.
Yeah.
They come in and they go out. And that's the way it has been with revival through the centuries, that it lasts for a little while and then everybody settles down.
Yeah. And let's go back 30 years. 1990, we are in the Persian Gulf.
Oh, yes.
And churches started filling up.
Right.
And I remember a source we heard said they sent over like 100,000 body bags or something like that, because they're expecting... We're going to have troops on the ground in Kuwait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot.
Slaughter. They're expecting slaughter.
They're expecting slaughter. And churches started filling up.
And prayers started going up.
Prayers started going up. And I remember one couple in our church, they had four sons in the Gulf.
That's right.
You know, in different branches of military. You know, and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
The churches, because people... When disaster looms, there's nothing in the natural can help you. You need something beyond that.
Exactly.
But what happened after the miraculous thing that happened in that war? We didn't get all these people killed.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing got turned around. And after a while, then the church is emptied out.
Yep. There's a tendency to only stay where you're supposed to be when you're under pressure.
Yep.
So... You know, that kind of brings up the thing that the Lord spoke to me when we got the name Global Outpouring. He said that what's coming is going to be the Book of Acts on steroids. So for those who don't understand the idiom about on steroids, it's a popular expression and it's used in everyday conversation, but it refers to something that's enhanced or intensified beyond its normal state. In other words, it comes from the development of steroids that help particularly
athletes
bulk up. They build up their muscles. And so it's illegal to use.
Yeah. And what do they do at the Olympics? And they test you. And if they find steroids in your blood, you're disqualified.
Exactly. You know? So, you know, what it means is something that's amped up, something that's bigger, something that's turbocharged, something that's more than what you expect it to be. Okay. So when you read the Book of Acts, there's all kinds of things that go on in the Book of Acts where the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, where in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come on people. And if there's even...
Samson.
Yeah, Samson. In Samson's case, the expression in Hebrew means that he was clothed with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like the Holy Spirit came on him like a garment.
Yeah.
Okay? So we still can have that where the Holy Spirit comes on you like a garment because we're in him, okay? Mm-hmm. But in the Old Testament, you didn't have this idea of God dwelling in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's cases, even the Holy Spirit coming on unbelievers.
Yeah.
And they're...
And they're prophesying.
Same thing. They're prophesying. And,
yeah.
And they're not believers, but it's just like the Holy Spirit is using that vessel.
Right.
You know, which is like Balaam.
Right. Yeah.
Look at Balaam. He tried to curse Israel. He could curse it. He could only bless. I have to do what the Lord says, compelled.
And you have to understand in that context
that
Balaam was a false prophet. Mm-hmm. He was a prophet from his own nation, prophesying under the power of the gods of his nation.
Yeah.
But they have an understanding in ancient times that every region has its own gods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody knew that the God of Israel was Jehovah.
Yeah.
Or Yehovah.
Uh-huh.
And so in order to deal with the people that are under that God, you have to deal with that God.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he had to get the word from that God. He had to get the word from the God of Israel in order to prophesy about Israel.
Yeah, that's amazing because this is a case of the Holy Spirit moves on them,
mm-hmm.
but they're not like walking with the Spirit of God in them.
Right, right. You
know, but now Jesus comes.
Right.
And so the Holy Spirit is here.
Exactly, exactly. So when Jesus was baptized,
mm-hmm.
John the Baptist said, "This one's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've explained this before, but I'll say it again, that like in Jesus' time, when he rose from the dead, on the Feast of First Fruits.
Mm-hmm.
It was when the priest would go out into the barley field and find the one stalk that's ripe here and look around and maybe 2-3 feet away, there's another stalk. And, you know, going through the field in order to get a sheaf of ripe ones that were ready before everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's a first fruits. And then the Feast of Pentecost is also a first fruits feast, a first fruit celebration, where they would be bringing in the sheaf from the wheat fields.
Oh, the wheat, yeah.
Yeah. They've completed the barley harvest and the wheat is in process, but the first fruits of the wheat would be ready.
Yeah.
And so what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, as the believers, the Israelites that were out in what they call the diaspora, they're dispersed out into the nations. So you've got people from what is now Iran, from Persia. Elam is what they called it. And you've got people from Cappadocia and Pontus and Phrygia and Pamphylia, all those names that are named there. And they've grown up in those places and they speak a different language natively than Hebrew. They probably speak some Hebrew because they're Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But they come for the feast and they probably didn't come every year from all those nations.
Mm-hmm.
But when they came, here they are. They probably came for Passover and stayed for Pentecost because they're only 50 days apart. You know,
yeah.
If you're going to travel that far, you might as well
stay. Just camp out in Jerusalem for a month.
Right,
you know,
right. So almost 2 months, really. So when the power of God came on these people, they were gathered for the purpose of remembering how God gave the word on Mount Sinai. And when he wrote the word in the tablets of stone, he used his fiery finger.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Ten Commandments movie does a great job of that. There's probably a YouTube video that just has that clip. And you see this like a fire tornado of the presence of God. And he speaks the words of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And a fire comes slinging off of the tornado. And it
burns
into the stone. I love that picture. It's so well done.
So awesome.
So that's what they were remembering on the day of Pentecost was that event of the giving of the law. And so here they are remembering here is a celebration of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably not in the upper room at this point because even today in Jerusalem, they pray together all night and they read scripture all night. And then early in the morning before the sun rises, they go to the Western Wall, the Kotel. Some people call it the Wailing Wall. And in Jesus' day, they would have gone to the temple. Mm-hmm. So they were probably on the temple steps or just inside the temple area when this happened, when the fire came down on them. And it wasn't just a little teeny tiny flame of 2 or 3 inches like you see in most of the artwork. It was probably something that was more like a foot or 2 or 3 tall that came down on their heads.
Yeah.
And when Jesus gave the Holy Communion on his last night with the disciples, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, promises that I will write my word in their hearts and in their minds. So when this fiery flame comes down on them, all of a sudden they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised in the Upper Room Discourse in the chapters 14 through 17, I think it is, of John, he begins talking about the Holy Spirit, and this mm-hmm. is the Spirit of truth, and he's mm-hmm. going to bring to your remembrance all the things that I've taught you. So all of these words that Jesus taught them all mm-hmm. for that time that they were together, it's being written in their hearts and in their minds. Paul talks about it's being written in the fleshy tables of the heart
yeah.
instead of in stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of this stuff is happening. So what happened there where Peter says, "This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." He's saying this because all of these people are hearing the mighty works of God being spoken in their language. Now, it could be that they were speaking all these different languages, or it could be that they were hearing in their own language mm-hmm. when these disciples are speaking in tongues. So the point is that was a first fruits. You've got individuals from all these different nations, like the one stalk of barley that's ready. And here's another stalk of barley that's ready. And here's these handfuls of peoples from Egypt and from Cyrene and all of these different areas where Jews are living, and they're getting the Holy Spirit too, or they're hearing of it. And then there were 3,000 that were converted that day, so they probably came from all these different nations, right?
Yeah.
And they're hearing these mighty works of God being done. So that was a first fruits of what God is doing now,
mm-hmm.
where multiple nations, God said, "I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Well, in that day, nearly 2,000 years ago, it was people from different nations,
mm-hmm.
but there was a one or a two or a five, just a handful of people from all those nations. It was first fruits. Now's the big harvest.
Yeah.
All flesh, everybody. So what we're believing God for is that this event, this Charlie Kirk event,
mm-hmm.
there's an effect that's happening already. And I'm trusting God that it's not going to be over in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be something that's going to go deep mm-hmm. into people's hearts and into
yeah.
people's minds.
And even though you won't see it on your left-wing newscast.
Oh, well.
Because they're just tearing everything apart.
Oh, sure.
Which is
normal.
Which is normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a picture of, you know, we've spoken on this before, but it was a couple of years ago. It's right when, we were having an ice storm and we snuck out of Arkansas and we had to go to a funeral down in Florida. And while we're down there, we hear this, where the Spirit of God is being poured out in Asbury at this,
yes.
at the college.
Yes.
And I had been there before with our founder, chief minister, but it was in a different building there. It was a different auditorium, but it was in Asbury. It was part of that complex. And so we're hearing things going on. You know, we're seeing things on YouTube. And we're on our way home, and we're like 5 hours from home. And we wake up in the morning, I said, "Sharon, I think we need to go to Asbury."
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and I'm thinking, you know, my flesh is saying long lines, that, you know. But and we've done this before with, you know, different moves of God,
mm-hmm.
but we just felt we needed to go there, you
yeah.
know. So we went, and we got there, and there had been a tornadic storm kind of gone through and rain, and so I think it chased a lot of people off maybe, but it
yeah.
was about 9 o'clock at night we got in, and we found a subway. We just wolf down a sandwich and
Subway restaurant.
Subway restaurant. Sorry, not a train. So we get in line, and it's just drizzling a little bit, not bad. And they were just singing the chorus to Honest Day. The Holy Are You, Lord God Almighty. And they were just singing that. And within a half an hour, we were in. And that went on for at least another hour. Mm-hmm. And it was the most amazing thing. And what I was watching these kids growing up, you know, this Gen Z, you know, they didn't grow up like the way we grew up, mm-hmm. you know, back when we were teenagers in the 70s, like 30% of kids had knowledge of God, went to church, and, mm-hmm. you know, big numbers. Youth groups were big. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And now it's like 4%, and that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, we don't know what it is now.
Don't know what it is now. So here are these people, you know, these youth who very rarely go to church, but the presence of God met them.
Yes.
They're feeling the love of God, something maybe they can't describe, but it's taken
right.
away their suicide and their depression and all
right.
these other things.
It's about his presence.
And it's happening everywhere. I think it was New Year's time. It was Ohio State was having a baptism.
Yeah.
This is Ohio in, you know,
cold.
January. This
cold.
Is cold. And all these youth are getting baptized. What is going to make you do that? There's nothing. The president say, go get yourself baptized in the city fountain. How many people are going to do that? But when the move of God
yes.
comes on, because it does the heart.
Right.
It hits the heart and it convicts.
Right.
You know, the conviction is powerful. And now we're seeing it happening all over the place. And then, you know, all these different places, the move of God is, it's just like it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can find it all over YouTube on the shorts and different things like that, but you're not going to find it on the mainline news.
Hardly.
You'll find it on CBN. Look at CBN, that's
yeah.
Christian Broadcast Network.
Yeah.
And they will show things which, you know, this is what God is doing. So this is what is happening. It reminds me of that prophetic word
mm-hmm.
that it was in the stadium.
Oh, yes.
The Holy,
yes, John Hinkle.
John Hinkle, and where he's in a vision and in the stadium, and he hears the announcer say, like, 80,000 people. And it's just like, wow, it's a big game of some kind, big football probably. And then he watched the Holy Spirit came down, and it stood beside each person. That's what it did in the old, kind of in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Spirit came down, came on them, but it's coming on all these people, but
standing
it's not
beside.
Filling them,
right.
but it's convicting them.
Right.
And instantly, they're on their face like they're on their way to hell,
yeah.
and they know it, and
yeah.
they're crying out for mercy.
Yeah.
And the believers are rejoicing,
right.
and the lukewarm are crying out too because they've been lukewarm.
Right.
And then he saw it happen on Wall Street. Then he saw it happen all over the earth. So that gave me a picture before Asbury happened. This is how this can happen, God meeting people right where they're at without being in a church,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the Holy Spirit fell down on the Temple Mount, which was, you know, just thousands of people everywhere.
Right.
You know, and so here you are, but if you're in your church, just a church or something, the Holy Spirit falls, you know, people in the parking lot are getting convicted.
Yes.
And even Charles Finney,
mm-hmm.
you know, way back in 1800s, I think it was,
yeah.
you know, that before he got to a city, even when he was miles away, people start getting convicted.
That's right.
Of sin.
Right.
And
that's because there was an intercessor.
Because there was intercessors.
This intercessor went before him everywhere he went, and
mm-hmm.
he would pray and he would fast until he knew that everything was ripe and ready.
And that's what we're seeing happen, because there's so many intercessors now are praying for a move of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when President Trump took that bullet in the air, it was like that was an eye-opener, how you really have to pray for those that are in leadership over
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you agree with the President Trump or not, he's God's man for the hour, and he's doing things nobody else dared to do.
True.
You know, but we see how easy, and look what happened to Charlie. He was taken out by a bullet,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's just like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, he's like a seed, the scripture, where if
yes.
except a seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone.
But if it dies.
But if it dies, and this seed, because he was a real
yeah.
seed of a move of God yeah. on campuses.
Yeah, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit.
It brings forth much fruit, and that's what we are seeing right now.
Yes.
Yeah, and it just amazed, because we never thought what we're seeing now would come out of this.
Right.
They had no idea that this is like a, it's like an awakening, but this is where the intercessors, those of you who are listening, anybody praying into this, that this just expands.
Right,
and
right.
And the move of God just comes down. And we were watching on some things. It was in Massachusetts.
Yes.
This couple's going to church, and they said, this is Massachusetts. Look at all, there's lines of people going into the churches they're going in. They said they've never seen this before.
Yeah.
So it's doing something in the heart.
Right.
But we have to pray that everyone, they stay on fire.
Yes.
Stay on fire.
Yes.
This is the key for right now, and it's not something we can let go. This is a window of opportunity for the world.
Absolutely.
Not just the nation, for each individual.
Yes.
This is God's chance to redeem things.
Yes. And I think what we also need to consider is the idea, as the Lord spoke to me, strike while the iron is hot. Well, what does that mean? What does that come from? It comes from the blacksmith that mm-hmm. is beating out steel, right? Once you put something into the fire and it gets hot and it gets red hot, you can beat on it, you can hammer on it.
Uh-huh.
Even the word blacksmith, it refers to black iron, you know, like you mm-hmm. know what that wrought iron looks black, right?
Yeah.
Your wrought iron pan, it's black. So it's made of iron, but you have to heat it and beat it. And the word smith comes from the word smite, which means mm-hmm. to hammer or to
wow.
hit, okay? So it's somebody who's hammering out the black iron.
Yeah.
And when you hit iron that is red hot,
mm-hmm.
you have to strike it while it's hot. Because if you strike it when it's cold, you could warp it or you could crack it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to strike it when it's hot, because that's when it's malleable. When it's changeable. You can change the shape of it with your hammer mm-hmm. when it's hot.
Yeah.
And you have to keep putting it back in the fire to reheat it until you get it done.
Yeah.
And people have to understand that going through things and going through fires in our life is what gets us into a position where God can mold us and make us into what he designed us to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got a design for every single person on the planet.
Yeah.
And so he uses the fires in our lives to get us into places where we need to be to get shaped and get formed. And it's not a fun time. It's
no.
a process that we don't like, but it's something we need to go through, and we need to just receive God's grace to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's going to make us what we'll have joy in doing,
yeah.
ultimately.
Uh-huh.
You know, he gets off the rough edges that way, and he makes a sharp edge sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
that sometimes he's making a sword out of you, or maybe he's making a horseshoe out of you.
Yeah.
That's,
uh-huh.
that's going to help win the battle. You know, there's a saying about the war was lost for lack of a horseshoe, because the horse couldn't go into battle, and, you know, so that soldier couldn't go into battle because the horse didn't have, and that soldier was needed in order to win the battle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for us to recognize, and I think, I'm just going to put in a plug for my book, Rich Wounds. Can I say it's a treatise? It's a study on what the hardships and the difficulties and the sufferings that we go through help us to be formed into God's purposes,
mm-hmm.
and that there's ultimate beautiful purpose that God has, and we just go through these things with trust in him. You don't get thrown off when things don't go the way you mm-hmm. think that they should go.
Right.
Because you're going to have opposition. Let me just share this word that Billy Brim got the same day that Charlie Kirk was killed, the same morning, like probably 4 or 5 hours before Charlie was assassinated. Now, Billy Brim is one of these people that has this experience where she prays in tongues, and there's a man that is from Jordan, and his native tongue is Arabic, and he hears, she's praying in tongues, sounds like tongues to me. It doesn't sound like Arabic to me, because I can recognize Arabic. I recognize the sound of it. I don't know mm-hmm. the language, but I know pretty much
what it sounds like,
you know, because I've been around it enough. And he hears in Arabic what the Lord is saying. So I think that could have been happening on the day of Pentecost, too.
Yeah.
They might have
uh-huh.
just been praying in tongues or speaking mm-hmm. in tongues, and people heard in their own language. So he hears in Arabic and writes it down in Arabic, and then he translates it. And it's most amazing how there are statements and words, and then there, sometimes there's a scripture reference that he just writes down the reference. I mean, that's all that God gives. And when you read the scripture at that reference, it fits with what the Lord had just said. Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable. So on that day, September 10th, at 8:08 a.m., Billy Brim was praying in tongues, and here's what the interpretation was. The final showdown between me and Satan is imminent. He will increase his persecution of believers. That's you, my children. You must stand. I am with you. And so we've mm-hmm. got to recognize that when the opposition rises against us, mm-hmm. that we have to stand. And that's where this idea of arise and shine, for your light has come, mm-hmm. from Isaiah 60. Do you want to read that in the Passion?
Yeah. Rise up in splendor and be radiant, for your light has dawned, and Yahweh's glory now streams from you. I mean, when you read it in the Passion, it looks as Yahweh, but there's no W in Hebrew, so it's pronounced with a V. So it's Yahweh's glory now streams from you. Look carefully. Darkness blankets the earth, and thick clouds cover the nations. But Yahweh arises upon you, and the brightness of his glory appears over you. Nations will be attracted to your radiant light, and kings to the sunrise glory of your new day. Lift up your eyes higher, look all around you and believe, for your sons are returning from far away, and your daughters are being tenderly carried home. Watch as they all gather together, eager to come back to you. You know, and that's what happens when the Spirit of God gets mm-hmm. poured out. Restitution is made. You know, people that have been at odds at each other.
Yes.
You know, children to parents, and they leave home and because, well, we don't like your values and that. But here it says how they're coming back. And when the presence of God comes down like this, like it's doing, it's going to put people in their right mind, a God mind.
Yes.
Because even in moves of God, like it was the evangelist Campbell, what was his name? The New Hebrides in the 50s. When the Spirit of God was just poured out in Wales, not Wales, it was in the New Hebrides, mm-hmm. up in, that's above Scotland, or the Orkneys, yeah. the islands up there.
No, it was Lewis Island.
Lewis Island, yeah, it's
the
Lewis Island.
The Hebrides are just off the northwest coast.
Yeah, not New Hebrides, it's the Hebrides, mm-hmm. you know, because they've been there a long time, they're not new.
Yeah.
But the post office ran out of...
That's the Welsh Revival.
Well, that was the Welsh Revival.
Yeah.
Okay.
The post office ran out of
postal money orders because everybody is paying their debts.
Yeah.
And the jails, people weren't going to jail.
Yeah.
You know, because the presence of God was taking their minds over.
Right.
You know.
Setting their minds right.
Setting their minds right. So what God is doing here in youth and these things, it's like it's a reset.
Yes. Because the problem is that the thinking has become so skewed and so illogical, really. It's illogical. A lot mm-hmm. of it's full of lies. Okay, yeah. we've been told lots of lies to try and get us to think incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And this is the enemy working. Okay, let's not blame a bunch of people. Let's put the blame where it belongs. It belongs on the enemy of our souls. He's God's enemy. God's enemy is trying to pervert people mm-hmm. and cause them to think wrongly so that they will act wrongly, so that they will bring a curse on the earth, so that they'll bring a curse upon themselves, and then the devil can take them to hell with him because misery loves company. He doesn't want to go by himself, and he's going there for sure.
Yeah.
So he wants to take as many of God's people with him as he possibly can. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for every possible way to sneak around and twist and pervert the thinking of people so that they're thinking incorrectly. They're not thinking according to the instruction book that our Heavenly Father gave us. The Lord gave these instructions so that we could live well. So mm-hmm. that we could live a life that ultimately is joyful. You know, when you stay in the presence of God, you're staying in the presence of joy.
Yeah,
there's peace. There's everything that we need is there in him. There's mm-hmm. there's a prosperity. There's all of these things that we'll have everything that we need to do the job that he's given us to do. And we'll do it with joy. He's rejoicing over us. He's singing over us. He's drawing us into his kingdom. And he wants us just to begin to flow with him because that's how he designed
yes.
us.
Amen. I was looking here in Luke, you know, because we looked up verses on light, you know.
Yes.
And this is the story of Simeon when he comes to the temple. Now, this is, you know,
when Jesus was first born
and he goes in, you know, for his dedication.
It has to do with Mary's purification.
Mary's purification.
Yeah.
And so
he'd already been circumcised before.
So there was Anna was in the temple. That was the prophetess that came up. And now this is Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. This is verse 25 of chapter 2 of Luke, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And that word is Yeshua.
Amen.
Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And so this is a light to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is what it also said in Isaiah chapter 60, you know, that there will be a light to the Gentiles. And we who are Gentiles, you know, we're not Jewish, but we are grafted in.
That's right.
And you might want to translate this, a light to the heathen.
Right.
Because there's a lot of heathenistic activity going on. And I mean, I was a heathen. I talked about in my heathen days,
right?
You know, my BC days before Christ,
yeah.
You know, that we were heathens. Like I never got into drugs, you know, occasional drink now and then, depending who I was with. Never had a cigarette, you know. So by my standards like that, I'm still a Christian, some people would think. But I grew up in a Christian family, but this does not make me a Christian. A Christian is when you ask Jesus into your heart, and he lives in you. And as like Dean said, when he went to heaven, when he died, and he did come back, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus saw himself in him. And Dean knew because Jesus was in him, he was in.
Exactly.
So that's what we have to have. We have to have Jesus in us. And he's trying to get as many people into heaven as he can.
Absolutely.
And even if it's the death of one person, like it was Stephen that was stoned, you know, the New Testament, Saul, the one who permitted this to happen, even holding the coats of those that are stoning him, killing him. I mean, can you imagine getting stoned by stones? Mm. And so Saul is the one that had this visitation, changed his name to Paul, and turned out to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
Right.
And God will do things that will turn your apple cart upside down.
Yes.
Here's Saul, who is a master of the law, knows all the law, trained under the feet of Gamaliel.
He was a great, great,
great teacher back then. And now he's apostle to the Gentiles. And then you have Peter, the fisherman, who is ignorant. You know, that's what they call these men are ignorant, means they're unlearned. They didn't go to yeshiva and all that. They were fishermen. That was their life. And how he's preaching the Old Testament to them, all these scriptures given by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So God can just do things beyond our wildest dreams.
Right. So Jesus was sent as a light to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And so in these days, while we are watching what God is doing, all of us who are believers need to arise and shine.
Yes.
We need to, and the word shine there is actually the word for light in Hebrew. So you're stepping up to be a light. We were with a lady recently in New Jersey, and I said, you glow.
Oh, yeah.
And she does.
Her skin is dark, but she glows.
she's a person of color, but she absolutely glows. And her eyes have this glow about them. And it's not something that you see in the natural. It's something that you see in the spirit. And she was a teacher. And the children kept saying, she glows. She's glowing. Yeah. And that's what we need to be. We need to be so enamored. We need to be so in love with God that His presence in our life causes us to glow. And that will cause people who are looking for the next thing. They're already stirred. They want to do something and they don't know what it is they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be looking for you to step up, yeah. Arise and shine. For your light is come. You've already got the light. The light comes from the presence of God. And the more time you spend in the presence of God, like Moses on Mount Sinai, he stayed up there for 40 days, came down briefly, went back for another 40 days. Uh-huh. When he came back, he was glowing so much that the people made him put a veil on because they couldn't stand the brightness. And if God did that in the Old Testament, how much more does he want to do that in us? He wants, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was glowing.
Yes.
God uh-huh. wants yeah. us to glow with his light and his life and his love. His love is that light in our lives that causes us to glow. And the more we engage with the Lord, the more we're going to be able to engage with people.
Yes. Amen.
Encounter Jesus and engage people because the Father's love is for everybody, every single person on the planet. And he loves you like you're the only one.
Yes, that's right.
But he loves everybody the same way. And every single day, this is what Dean Braxton said, every single moment, God is creating brand new love for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, as you get just soak in his love, it'll wash over on other people. It's just going to spill over. It's going to impact your atmosphere, and your atmosphere is going to impact their atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's time to arise and shine because your light has come.
Yeah. And I'd like to just add a couple of scriptures here from Isaiah that I had just found. This is in Isaiah 40. Then this is verse 3. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Now, that was John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I believe this is spiritually for us for these days, what's going on. And verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Amen.
I mean, it's prophesied all through the Old Testament, especially even Isaiah,
yeah.
You know, of what's coming. What's
right. And what, all flesh shall see
all
it together.
All flesh shall see it. That has not happened yet.
It's the global outpouring.
Global outpouring. When the Spirit of the Lord is revealed, and it's a game changer.
Absolutely.
Atmosphere changer.
And that's where we are right now. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity to step up. The Lord needs you to help disciple others. Mm-hmm. And it requires that we all be equipped. That's why we're doing these podcasts.
Yes.
To equip the saints for the global outpouring. It's time. Mm-hmm. It's time for us to see something new, do something new. It hasn't happened all in one moment yet, but there is a groundswell right now. Mm-hmm. And we need to strike while the iron is hot. We need to participate
yes.
in what God is doing in mm-hmm. these days. Father, in Jesus' name, we appeal to you to pour out your Spirit on all flesh. Give us your heart for the outpouring, that every single one of us that are participating and listening to this podcast, that every single one of us will begin to have a swelling in our hearts, Lord, an increase of love for you, an increase of your love operating in us and through us, so that you can use us, Lord. None of us are ever going to be Charlie Kirk, but we're going to be the person you made us to be.
Yes.
To do what we're called to do in these days, not waiting, not procrastinating, not putting off until next week, but now, today, to draw closer to you, to be used by you in prayer, in intercession, in interaction with people, in just saying something to somebody, maybe even just smiling at somebody, but to increase your presence in our lives. so that people will be drawn to you. It's not like we want them to be drawn to us. We want them to be drawn to you.
Yes.
And that we can help them to find you and to get strong in their faith so that they won't just fall off. Lord, we're asking you to plow the ground. Plow up those hard places and take out the stones and scare away the birds so that those things that Jesus spoke of in the parable of the sower, that every seed that's planted in the ground is going to bring forth good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, Lord. We're asking you to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the podcasting platform suggest this podcast to other listeners who are also looking for a great move of the Holy Spirit. Check out our website at globaloutpouring.org to find out more information, read our blogs, connect with us, and donate. You can also browse our web store for life-changing anointed books. Until next time, this is Sharon Buss.
And I'm Philip Buss.
God bless you with His overwhelming, loving presence.